So earlier this year, we conducted a survey. It was a state of the product industry survey, and we had 925 people respond. And of that group, 15% of respondents said that they are not utilizing email marketing to reach their audiences. Y'all, my jaw fell to the floor. You know this. I've talked about this in previous episodes, why this is so important. But the number really surprised me because email marketing has the highest ROI of all marketing channels. For every dollar that you put into email marketing, you can expect an average rate of return of $42, which is bananas. You won't get that with social media or even sometimes paid ads. Email marketing is also one of the best ways to build trust with your customers so that they come back time and time again to order with you. I have been shouting the importance of email marketing for years, but today I wanted to let our friends at Flowdesk explain why email marketing is so important, what data you should be paying attention to, and overlooked opportunities when it comes to email marketing. My guest today is Dawn Richardson. She is the product education manager at Flowdesk. She also runs her own business called Tech Savvy Creative. Dawn has a background in software engineering, and then she was in wedding photography, and now she's back in the world of tech where she's helping creative entrepreneurs of all types. Her mission is to create a safe, fun, and welcoming corner of the internet where entrepreneurs can learn how to leverage technology so they can spend more time doing work that matters most. Today's episode is brought to you by our Email Marketing for Product Makers Guide. If you have ever struggled with having a consistent email marketing strategy, maybe because you're not sure what to say, you're not sure when to send these emails, or how often you should send emails to your direct-to-consumer or wholesale customers, I have the perfect tool for you. I want you to head to proof2product.com/email marketing and grab our free email marketing guide. This is a free PDF that has helped hundreds of product makers plan out an entire year's worth of marketing emails. We're going to dispel the myths of what to say and when to send these things. And this guide also has an optional training that you can purchase if you'd like, if you want help creating that strategy. But again, you can get the PDF guide for free at proof2product.com. proof2product.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Dawn, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hey, Katie, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm really excited to hear more about your background and your role at Flowdesk. So fill us in. What are you doing?
Yeah. So my name is Dawn Richardson. I am based in San Antonio, and I am the product education manager at Flowdesk. I also own my own business called Tech Savvy Creative, where I help creative entrepreneurs and other small businesses learn how to use technology and show them how it can transform their lives. And I'm in a really unique situation because I get to do that same thing at both Flowdesk and Tech Savvy Creative. So this has just been like a match made in heaven for me. So
I love it. Love, love, love it. You know, there are lots of different email service providers out there. Talk to me about what sets Flowdesk apart and also who your core customer is.
Yeah, absolutely. So we love the small business owner. Now we have some, I would say, like larger businesses that also utilize us. So it's not just for that small business owner, but we're definitely reaching out and wanting to support that small business community, the solopreneur, the side hustles. All of that community is really near and dear to our hearts. And we want to build a tool that fits into their lifestyle because they're busy. Like small business owners, we're busy. We are busy, we're overwhelmed, and we want to make email marketing accessible and easy and beautiful and a representation of your business. And that's what Flowdesk is all about. So we pride ourselves in having stunning designs. We help you create an extension of your brand. And not only that, we do it without charging you an arm and a leg. So most email providers out there, if you're unfamiliar with the email marketing world, will charge you based off of how many subscribers you have. But Flowdesk, we are a flat rate, regardless if you have 5 subscribers or 500,000 subscribers. It's the same price no matter what. So very accessible to the small business owner. We don't want to penalize you for building your email list. You know, we want that to be exciting. Don't want you to go into a new price bracket. So we're here to support those small business owners. And I think that's one thing that just like really sets us apart from the other competitors out there.
For sure. I remember when you all came on the scene and this whole like flat rate structure, it was a disruptor. Like no one else was doing it. And it did make it much more accessible for people to, like you said, beautiful emails, but also at a price point that they could afford and grow with too. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And for sharing those details. Okay. You know, earlier this year, I conducted a state of the product industry survey where 925 brands shared their feedback with us. And they shared details about tech tools and marketing strategies, their finances, and a whole lot more. And for folks listening that do want to see the details of the report, the results, they can go to prooftoproduct.com/2024survey. So 2024 survey. But Dawn, a surprising statistic came out of this report, and that was that 15% of respondents do not use any type of email marketing. Now, I gasped when I like crunched these numbers and I had to go back over and over to like, is this right? Like, this can't be right. Because I'm a firm believer that if you're not emailing your customers regularly, you are definitely leaving money on the table. But I would like to hear from someone like you who is immersed in this email marketing world. Why is email marketing so important for small businesses?
It's so important. Absolutely, Katie. So I want to really bring to light this stat that of all of the marketing channels, we have social media, we have email marketing, you have word of mouth, all these different channels. The highest ROI is within email marketing at an average of $42 for every dollar spent. Like that is the highest ROI. You're not going to get the same kind of conversion on social media. And so many of us put all of our eggs into the social media basket because that's where we feel like we need to be. And you put all of this time and all of this effort to get that content out there. But how many people are actually seeing that content? And not only how many people are seeing that content, but how many people are converting from that content, right? Yeah. The average engagement rate on an Instagram reel is like 3-5% if you're lucky, where email marketing, like 20% is that like solid number of like somebody opening your email. And I'm just going to kind of go out on a whim here. Like at Flowdesk, we're sending our own campaigns using our own tools. Y'all, we're seeing 80% plus open rates. It is insane. And I'm sure we'll talk about this, but that has a lot to do with how you warm your email list and like different things like that. But this is not something to sleep on, guys. Like imagine a world where you can market something and 80% of people are actually going to pay attention to it. Like you're not going to get that on any of the other channels. So that is just so important. And a lot of people feel like I've had that conversation of like, I just don't want to bother people. Like, here's the thing. Your subscriber can unsubscribe if they don't want to be part of your list, you know, and it's actually like a good thing when people unsubscribe because you're getting rid of unengaged people from your list. You just have to put yourself out there and start. And the best part about email marketing is a lot of it is automated. You know, I'm looking at my own analytics for my own Flowdesk account for my business. And I'm looking at my analytics and it's like, oh, you've sent 36,000 emails last year. Like that's insane. I was not sitting there sending those emails. Those are all of my automations kicking off. And I'm in front of people, getting to know them. My friend Natalie, who also works at Flowdesk, loves to say that social media is that handshake, but email marketing is that deep conversation with a friend, right?
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so different from other platforms out there. And I love that analogy because getting in front of them, getting in their inbox is just a great way to really take your business to the next level and make money. So that 15% out there, y'all are leaving money on the table big time.
Big time. I know it's shocking given how much business we all do online that email marketing wouldn't be an integral part of someone's plan. However, I also understand, I remember back in the early days, it was a while ago, but I remember back in the early days of like, oh, I don't want to bother people like you said, or I don't want to sound salesy, or I don't want to clog their inboxes. Everyone gets enough. But like the truth of the matter is your customers want to hear from you. They signed up for your email list or asked for more information because they want to purchase your products. They want to hear what you're doing. They have an interest in your brand. So let's give them that conversation and let's create that bond with them. Okay, you mentioned some data points. I want to start about that. And then I want to move into some of this, how to warm up the audience and how to keep them engaged. But What are the most important data points the business owner should be looking at when it comes to email marketing? We hear a lot of chatter about open rates and click-through rates, but we've also heard some chatter recently about like, oh, the opens can't be trusted anymore because the iOS changes and all these things. Like, what's your take on it?
Yeah. So there's so many different data points that you can look at, and it really depends on what your priority is. One thing I do want to call out, though, is I feel like there's a lot of unnecessary value to the large list. Like people are like, oh, my list is too small, right? But a quality engaged list that's smaller will outperform a large unengaged list any day. So I'll take a step back from that subscriber count, guys. Like take a step back and just be like, this number doesn't matter. You want people to unsubscribe because you're getting rid of people that don't want to be there, right? Like you said, people are there because they want to get to know you. And like focusing on that, like how many subscribers I have number is just like the last thing that you should focus on. So don't focus on that. You want to focus on your engagement rate. Are people engaging with your emails? Are they opening them? Are they clicking them? That could drive some different strategies that you might be doing. Maybe you find that when you send this really stunning email with like a checklist in it or something, or some like photos about what you've been up to, that performs really well. Or maybe you find, which I've found in my cases, when I'm telling stories about my personal life or like what's going on in my world, that gets way more engagement than any other email. Even people just like responding to me being like, that is so cool. Congratulations. Like I announced that I was coming to work for Flowdesk and that was my highest performing email that I've ever had because people were engaging all of these things. So taking time to pay attention to that engagement rate, find ways to encourage your subscribers to engage with you is really important. Now, the other data point that I want to call out is how often you are emailing your list. And this is a big mistake that a lot of people are making, especially when it comes to like the Cyber Monday, Black Friday time of year. A lot of people will like neglect their email list until it's sales time. And then they just like hit a bam, like here's this giant email blast. Like we have a sale, but I haven't talked to you in 6 months, but here's a sale. And what happens when we let our list go cold and then suddenly blast all of them? Google's like, who is this person? And it's going to be very likely that they're going to mark you as spam. When you are spending your time, you're constantly on a consistent basis sending your emails to your most engaged people or to your audience. As you consistently do that, Google and all of these other internet providers are much more likely to trust you. So Some people get really frustrated. They're like, oh my gosh, my email ended up in the spam folder. It's my email provider or it's this or whatever reason it is. And a lot of times it's just because they haven't engaged in a long time and then they just wham them with this like full list send. So If you have a list that might be cold or dormant, take some time and warm it up. Like this could be over the course of about 6 weeks is typically what we recommend. Start with your most engaged subscribers. Use your analytics to find those people because those are the people that are most likely to open your emails. Email them first. Let's say 50 people, 100 people. Email them. Watch your open rates increase because those are your most engaged subscribers. Then send another email. Send this to the next batch of subscribers and then keep growing that subscriber base. And that's going to tell Google, Yahoo, that you are a trustworthy resource that people actually want to open. So that what we're seeing, especially in this world, a lot of compliance things changed in 2024, and a lot of like verification, make sure your domain is verified. That's really important. All of those things have really changed the scene. So when I think of data points, that's really important to look at. That's probably my number one of just like, how often are you engaging with them? If you haven't engaged with them, let's slowly warm up that domain so you're not going to be sent straight to the spam folder.
Those are great tips. That's really helpful. Let's talk about the workflows and email automation and the benefits to business owners, because I think one of the misconceptions out there is people think, oh, every week I have to sit down at my computer and type my email and send it out. But the fact is people can do things ahead of time. They can batch write. They can schedule things out. So whether it's a simple welcome sequence for those that are just starting their email list and their email automations, or maybe it's advanced segmentation like you were talking about of, you know, pulling your most engaged people and warming them up. I guess my question is, what do you see working really well on the email automation front? And maybe we could split this into like beginner stuff, but then also some advanced stuff.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that like starting small is key here. We don't want to just jump into this like massive campaign. So start with that welcome email. When somebody fills out your form, right? Your subscriber saying, I give you permission to email me. They fill out that form, welcome them. Say, hey, and maybe tell them about you. Maybe have an offer for them. Maybe tell them a funny story. But you can create that really simple welcome workflow that just says when they get added to this segment, this email sends. Maybe you wait a day, send another email, and then they exit the workflow. Keep it really simple. It doesn't need to be complicated. And honestly, the majority of my sends are just that welcome sequence, that very simple, just like, hey, this is what I'm all about. Now, if you want to get a little bit more complicated, you can start using different types of conditions and actions in these workflows where they says like, okay, if they clicked on this link, then I want to add them to a different segment. And that we call link actions in Flowdesk. If they clicked on another link, maybe remove them from a workflow, maybe add a custom field. Those are different things you can do. We're actually in the process of running a campaign right now where we only want to send the next email to people who opened the first email. Because this might be a situation where we're trying to talk to an unengaged audience. So if you have a cold audience, you don't want to just like keep hitting the unengaged audience because that's going to be bad for your domain reputation. You keep sending it to people that don't want your email. Like these providers are going to recognize that. And that's not a good thing for your reputation. So we'll send that first email to the unengaged group. But then we're going to check to see if they've opened that email over the course of the next 5 days. If they did open it, we're going to add them to a segment that puts them into the next workflow that sends that second series of workflow. Because we know that they're engaged. We know that that's information that they're interested in and we can continue to follow up with them. Now, it's not perfect. Like you mentioned, oh, like things are changing and like there's especially like we're aware that EDU addresses tend to go through like some type of spam checker where like all the links are clicked as soon as the email lands in the inbox. So like we've seen that and that's across all platforms. Like that's not as particular just to Flowdesk, that's everybody. And right. There's some really clever ways to kind of work around that, but we're just kind of like ebbing and flowing as the industry changes. But at the end of the day, email is still king. And you might have those weird stragglers that have that EDU email address that have that spam checker, or you might have that user on iOS. And it's not going to be a perfect system, but the majority are going to go through it correctly. And that's something to focus on.
And even if iOS is saying they've opened, they're probably not going to, or one of these other systems is saying, I mean, I guess the EDU clicking defeats what I was about to say.
But it's one-off and it's very rare, right?
Whenever
somebody's using it.
The data points are still helpful is my point in kind of gauging what's working and what's not. So
yeah.
I really like what you said about re-engaging the most active and engaged people on your list. I do think my audience, I know some of my clients have fallen victim to like, they don't have a regular cadence of emailing their folks. I would love them to, but they don't. And so then they go through this, okay, I need to warm them up again before I go into a big sale. And I like what you talked about of like even taking the top 50 people or 10 people or whatever, sending something to them. That's a really cool strategy that I hadn't really heard before. So thank you for sharing that.
And it works really well. We're actively using it. Like we use it, I use it in my business and it works really well. And that's honestly like when I'm seeing people send emails to even hundreds of thousands of subscribers and having open rates in the 70%, which is just insane. But we're seeing those numbers from our members. Like that's what's happening. We're seeing those members. We're seeing it ourselves. And that's because we spent the time of warming up our domain and really establishing that domain reputation. And that's such an important piece. Like I just wish more people knew that. And that also goes alongside with cleaning your list every once in a while. We typically recommend every 6 months, but go in. If you want to try to re-engage those unengaged subscribers, then you can create a workflow like we talked about earlier. Send them one email. If they open it, then send them another email. But if they don't, maybe it's time to say goodbye and just remove them from your list entirely. If they want to resubscribe, they can. But otherwise, they're just kind of hurting your domain reputation. So getting rid of them is like really a smart move. And we recommend that every 6 months or so.
Yeah, same. I remember in the early days, I mean, even now, we work so hard to get every single subscriber onto our list, right? Like we're doing so many things to try to attract these people. So the idea of letting them go, deleting them ourselves, not them leaving us, like I know that can feel really scary to probably some of the people listening right now. Or even like, I know some people see the unsubscribes and get really bummed out about that. But like you are saying, I just want to reiterate that, like, we want the people on our list that want to be there. It's much better to have a smaller, more engaged list than a huge list where nobody's really paying attention. And so, you know, don't get bummed if people unsubscribe. And also, don't be afraid to remove people that are no longer actively participating in what you're doing. I know that's like a little bit of a mindset shift that needs to happen, but totally okay. Absolutely. And it benefits the business overall. In your opinion, which email marketing features are underutilized by business owners? And if you have anything specific to product-based business owners, I'd love to hear that too.
Yes. So my number one, and we see a lot of stats, and I have real numbers. I have a spreadsheet here. I have real numbers for you to give you actual stats. One mistake that I see a lot of business owners make is they don't segment their list. They just kind of collect subscribers and they email them all in like big batches. But when you can segment your list into smaller groups, we call those segments. So it could be a smaller segment about what products they're interested in. It could be something as silly as what's their favorite color. It could be where they're from. It could be what they do. And when you segment your list by this type of information, you're able to create targeted workflows, send targeted emails, targeted campaigns to that audience. And we see when somebody sends an email to an unsegmented list, so just the whole email blast, the average open rate is about 15%.
Oh, wow.
The average click rate is less than 1%. It's 0.8%. Yikes. That's what happens when you just blast everybody, okay? But we've seen that when people segment their list, the average open rate is 48%. So it went from 15% to 48% just by targeting the right audience. And the click rate doubles. It's 2%. So for the email marketing world, those are great numbers, right? Like over 20, I'm like, that's stellar. Like 20%, like that's amazing, right? But we're seeing that particularly with a segmented audience. So that leads me to, what are people underutilizing? They're underutilizing features like link actions. So that's something we have in Flowdesk, where whenever somebody clicks on a link, you can trigger an automation, whether it's adding them to a segment or removing them from a segment, or adding them to a workflow, removing them from a workflow, or adding a custom field. You can also segment your audience using a poll in your emails. And we just released our email polls like last week. So you can create this fun. It's so fun. You can create a fun interactive poll. It can have up to 12 answers. So if you want to do like, what month are you born? Like, or whatever it is, right? The zodiac, whatever. We give you up to 12 options. But you can set it up to, when somebody votes, it segments them. So you can say like, what kind of business owner are you? Or let's say, okay, we're back to products. What's your favorite color? And you can have your options. Well, if somebody clicks on pink, you can segment them to a segment called favorite color, pink. And when you launch that brand new pink product, guess who's getting an email, right? Because you know that audience loves that color. So what if you sell phone cases or whatever? I don't know. The products can be endless, right? But getting creative and thinking about how you can send targeted emails to people that could be really relevant to them. It could be, what's their favorite season? I see that a lot in the wedding industry. It's, what's your favorite or what season are you getting married? And so when I, as a wedding photographer, am sending you email, if you're getting married in the spring, you're only going to see springtime imagery in these emails, because it's going to be something that you relate to. It's going to be something you want to have, right? So getting really clever with those segments and how you can use them. And even on a product base, like let's say you send an email about your top three products, and you notice that they clicked on product number one. Well, you can segment them into interested in product number one. So maybe you tell them, send them more emails down the line about product number one. Tell them like the reviews on it, why people love it. You know that they're interested because they've already clicked on it. So now take advantage of it and create that targeted content for them. So that's definitely my number one. I wish more people used it. So many ways to segment your list. It could be even through a third-party quiz or something like that. Mm-hmm. I use Interact, love Interact, and I use that to segment my audience. But it's just a really interesting space that a lot of people aren't utilizing, but the people who are utilizing are seeing really great return.
Absolutely. No, that's fascinating. I love that. When people think about segmentation in my community, I think they think of the highest level of, okay, these are my B2B customers, my wholesale customers, these are my direct-to-consumer customers, and I've got those two segments. But digging even deeper into that, I think is so smart, of like, which product categories are people interested in? Which exact SKUs are they interested in? And then being able to funnel them to some more tailored emails, that makes a whole lot of sense.
100%.
My mind is spinning with like new ideas to tell some of my clients actually that are working on some of these things right now. So thank you. Okay. I want to go back. I know we talked about how email like reigns supreme in terms of like where we're spending our time and what's providing the best ROI for our business in terms of converting to sales. But a lot of our listeners are using Instagram as a referral source for customers. So I'm curious, how can they use Instagram and their email list like in combination to drive more traffic to their website, increase their sales, and also leveraging Instagram to get more people on their email list?
Oh, absolutely. And I do this myself in my businesses. So this is like active, tried and true. Like this is what's happening in my world. Yeah. So marketing shouldn't just be one channel. It shouldn't just be social. It shouldn't just be email. It should be a combination of different things, right? And we say that email marketing is king. It's supreme. It's performing the best. And that's absolutely true. But we're not saying you shouldn't be on social media. So I just want to make sure that we're really clear here. Instagram is a great place to be. It's a great place to make that handshake, to make that connection with people. Take advantage of that space. At Flowdesk, we offer a form called a link in bio form. So if you want to create, you know, like those like cool like link tree, like where there's like multiple links, we offer that in a form. So your form is at the top, like you can have your offer, your opt-in, and then you can add your 6 links below that. You can change it to be whatever you want. But then they fill out that form, it goes straight to your Flowdesk list and you can trigger off that workflow that you want to send. So that's something that we see a lot of people utilizing in their profiles is their link in bio form. And then we also see people engaging in stories. We see people engaging in their posts, maybe through a mini chat automation, right? I have a lot of those where I'm like, are you interested in getting access to this freebie? Type in AI toolkit and I'll send you the link. And then when I set up my mini chat automation, I just send them my Flowdesk form and then they fill it out and then they're into my workflow. They get their freebie, they get everything there. And the cool thing about those is, when you set up those types of automations in Instagram, it's almost evergreen in a way. People do go on your profiles and they scroll back and they see something interesting. And so I'm seeing these automations trigger for posts that I posted like almost a year ago. Like totally. It's still happening. Or maybe you pinned the post, right? So just because you might have missed that like 24-hour window where something is really popular on Instagram, like people are still finding that content. And it's just a way to funnel in people into your email list, where then you can take them from that handshake to that deep conversation. Once you're in their inbox, you're able to nurture and grow that relationship.
Totally. I've even gone back to old Instagram posts. We have ManyChat set up too for a lot of our stuff. And I've gone back to old posts that were of similar content to what whatever we were pushing people towards. And I added those back in and I reshared them on our stories. I mean, it was a post from maybe 6 months or 8 months ago, but now the call to action in the caption is still tied to something relevant and I'm resharing it in the story. So we're repurposing content in that way and still driving people to join the email list. And I know a lot of our folks are working on things like that too. So I'm curious, as we look ahead to 2025, what trends do you see coming down the pipeline? Like, there's been a lot of changes to technology, and I'm just curious what email marketing trends you're seeing upcoming.
Yeah, so this is a great question. I might not be the best person to answer this, but I'm going to do my best here.
Well, and I know you don't have a crystal ball, so just share what you're feeling.
So I see a world where personalized emails are becoming more and more relevant. I do think that there are more emails being sent. And again, like I don't have like hard data in front of me to be like, this is what's changing in 2025. So please take this with a grain of salt. But I think there's a lot of value in beautiful design. People are looking for memorable experiences. And I think that's true now, but I think it's going to be even more important as we move on to the next year. I think of the emails that I open every single time I get one. And what I think of right away is Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Anytime Starbucks emails me, I open that email because I know it's going to be really pretty and I want to see what it looks like. It gets me excited. It's creating that connection. It's really reminding me that I love this brand. I'm probably going to buy their coffee even if they don't email me. So like that's not like driving me to drive myself. So maybe this isn't the best example, but it's an enjoyable experience. It's an extension of their brand. And I see more small businesses leaning towards that. And that's something that really is a really powerful feature with Flowdesk. I see the world going on to the same point about designs. I see the template game getting even stronger. So we at Flowdesk have the ability to share a email template and a form template currently. More things to come soon. But you can create essentially this beautiful email. You can have the copy in it. You can have these designs, whatever you want it to be. And then you can share it as a template. Some people use that as an opt-in like, hey, get my email template. And that's an opt-in. People sell these. We have Flowdesk members that are making a ton of money selling these templates. So if you're a product owner, like, are you educating other product or other product-based companies? Could you create a series of emails for them and then sell them those templates? Like, that's something really popular. I think, like, you know, we've lived through the Canva revolution, right? Where Canva has come to the game. And like, I will never say no to a free Canva template personally. Like, if it's there, it's in my Canva account. Like, I love it. I collect them like they're candy. But those templates are coming to email marketing as well. And I think that's going to become even more relevant in 2025 as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Dawn, you know, this has been very enlightening. I really appreciate you coming to share your thoughts, your knowledge from what you guys are doing at Flowdesk. If people want to learn more about Flowdesk and follow the company on social media, where can they find you and the team?
Yes, you can find us at Flowdesk on Instagram, and that's F-L-O-D-E-S-K. And we're at flowdesk.com. We're also on Pinterest, and we're also launching our YouTube channel. So just search for Flowdesk there. But we'd love to have you, and we'd love to talk about email marketing with you and how it can change your life.
Fantastic. We'll include all those links in the show notes too. But Dawn, I really appreciate your time and expertise. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you to Dawn for joining me today. If you are looking for a new email service provider, I highly recommend checking out Flowdesk. Many of our Proof to Product community members not only use Flowdesk, but they love it. The beautiful templates, the fixed rate pricing, and the ability to segment customers so that you can talk directly to who you need to speak with. All of it is such good stuff. You can use our referral link by going to prooftoproduct.com/Flowdesk, and I will include that link in the show notes for you too. If you found today's episode helpful, please share it with a friend and consider leaving us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast player. You can easily do that at ratethispodcast.com/PTP for Proof to Product. And again, that's ratethispodcast.com/PTP. Your reviews do help our show gain more visibility and tells the podcast feeds to share our show with other people who have similar interests to you. More listeners means we can continue to bring you high-quality guests who can help you grow your business. Again, leave that 5-star rating and review at ratethispodcast.com/PTP. Thanks for listening until the end of the show today. I'll be back next week with a new episode.